leaving me to do the work by myself. Why don't you tell her to come and help me? You know, there's a lot to be done. She probably said that very respectfully. And Jesus then just replied, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. Okay? Mary has chosen what is necessary. She has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And it was really a lesson to us. I felt firstly on an individual level, a lot of us are busy. We're really busy with a lot of different things. And we can even be busy with a lot of things for the Lord, you know, doing things in the Lord's name. And meantime, it's not what God has asked us to do. So there's a lot of, in a sense, dead works or pruning that the Lord would do in our lives to bring us back to what He's called us to do. Because when we obedient to the Lord, when we know what He wants for us, we will not grow tired and weary. We will not be troubled and anxious like Martha was. You know, there the Lord is in their living room. They both know Him, you know, and they're exposed to the very same revelation of who He is and everything. And the one is just absolutely in awe and relaxed and comfortable just sitting at Jesus' feet, and the other one's running around and troubled and anxious. How is that possible? You know, and many times as believers, and we're in the same church and we're exposed to the same teachings and we have more or less the same revelation of who God is, but the one sitting next to you can be super troubled and anxious and you can be completely at peace. And so we need to, each of us need to come back to that place, choosing rightly, choosing the good portion, because if there's a bad and a good portion, you want to be choosing the good portion. Martha didn't choose the right one. And we got to get back to Jesus and listen what's on His heart for us. You know, so we can be fed like Mary was being fed there, and you know, she was being built up and edified so that she can go out and change the world. And Martha's running around having the opportunity to grow, but really, you know, assuming what needs to get done here and getting really busy about it. So we can do a lot of things for God, but it's not necessarily what God wanted us to do, and we need to come back to that place. We need to, and I challenged the church last week to come to our prayer meeting, which we kind of relabeled Stop and Listen, because that's really the heart of it. It's about just spending some time with the Lord and hearing what's on His heart. Because all of us, I know, you know, we're all running around and we're super busy, and we seldom make time to just slow down, switch off in terms of the busyness and focus on the Lord and hear what He has to say. So it's really meant to be an invitation, and it's meant to sound exciting and inviting for us to stop everything. I mean, that's very appealing to me with two little kids at home, and so my wife and children are not here tonight again. Christian developed an ear infection yesterday, and you know, I was up for part of the night, but Charlene was up till 6 o'clock this morning. He didn't sleep at all. He couldn't lie down with his ear and so on. Anyway, so it's busy. And it's, you know, I so enjoy our time here on a Thursday evening, because it's just like everything else becomes quiet and we can hear the Lord's voice. And so I spoke a bit about how God speaks to us. He speaks to us many different ways. Some of the ways through His Word, through people, through dreams and visions, through nature, through His voice, spirit to spirit, and our conscience. A lot of different ways we looked at that. We asked ourselves the question, how do we know when it's God that's speaking to us? Well, simply sheep, they know His voice. So I plek van jy weet dat jy weet. You know that you know that it's God. We looked at the example in 1 Kings chapter 19 where Elijah, the Lord, had him hide in a cleft of a rock while He would reveal Himself to him, and then a mighty wind came by and broke rocks into pieces. It says the Lord was not in the wind. And then there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in an earthquake, and a fire, but the Lord was not in a fire. And so often it's almost like we're preempting, we assume how God is going to work with us. You know, and so many times we're running ahead on an old revelation, and God is not, the anointing's not there anymore. God wants to reveal Himself to us in a new way constantly, because, and it's not that He's changing, it's just that He wants us to discover more of Him. God is so big, in our whole lifetime we will not discover the fullness of who He is. But one day we'll be in His full glory in heaven, and then we'll know. We'll be made perfect, and we'll have the full revelation. So here's Elijah, and he's almost teaching us that, you know, expect the unexpected. You think God, yeah, you will be in the earthquake if I choose one of those three. Or, you know, He's going to be in the fire. That's my God. You know, and then what does it say? Then a still small voice. And I would say that is most often our God speaks to me, and I'm sure you guys can testify as well. It's when we slow down, it's when we switch our BlackBerries off, you know, that we actually then are open to hearing His voice. And so I invite you to Thursday evening where it's quiet. In a sense, we allow the Lord the opportunity to speak to us, because He doesn't want to compete with Nintendo and with this and that movie and whatever. God wants us to slow down and really take time out and listen to what's on His heart. So that's really the invitation to really be quiet, listen to what's on His heart. We just ask ourselves also, what do we then do with what God has spoken to us? It's about really being faithful with what He's given us. Being faithful. We spoke a few weeks ago about Jesus as our rock, and then also the parable where He says the wise man, his house was built on the rock. He's the man who hears the word of God and then also performs it. And so we've got to be sure that that's what we do. We have to value, we have to treasure, we have to deem as precious the things that God speaks to us. Otherwise, simply as the master builder, He'll ask another contractor to do the work. If your contractor doesn't do the work, you're going to hire someone else for the job. Not that you love the guy any less, but you want the house to be built. You want the job to be done. Then we also, just in to conclude about last week, we looked at waiting on the Lord again. And we just took out a few verses out of the Psalms where it speaks around waiting. And we saw that, you know, you have to wait quietly, you have to wait patiently, you have to wait expectantly. Okay, and this is very much part of spending time with the Lord. Part of knowing what His heart and His will is for you is to wait on Him. So often we come to God and we do all the talking, and as soon as we finish, we're like, sorry God, time's up, got to run. You're not one inch closer to knowing what He has in store for you and what He wants for you, because you haven't bothered to wait, you haven't bothered to listen. And that's the thing, let God be God. You know, we can't say, okay God, I've got 2 minutes, talk to me. You know, that is not the heart's attitude to have when it comes to God. He wants us to really desire Him. He wants us to seek Him, to search for Him with all of our strength, all of our heart. We need to be patient. The psalmist says that he waits all day long on God. Okay, that's a man that God can use. Okay, and waiting quietly. And then also the psalmist says that don't lose heart. Take courage. Be expectant. God will speak to you. Right, so tonight, the title is Bullseye. That's not because the Bulls actually won a game yesterday. Get one back. But it's about, you know, as I said, leading on from last week, it's about discovering what's God's heart for us. You know, God has instruction for us. He has a plan for us. There's something bigger than just our existence that we are called to be part of, to partner with. And, you know, that's why, as I've mentioned many times before, we'll recognize that we all have a searching in our hearts, a desire for significance, really to be part of something bigger than ourselves. And that's God-given. And that's because we were made for something bigger than ourselves. We've been called to a supernatural life. And so we need, you know, God would have us aim at something. He has a plan for us, and He wants to reveal that to us. He's not sadistic. He wants to give us that plan. He wants to satisfy us in every way. So Proverbs 29 verse 18 in the King James, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the Lord's law, happy is he. Now, we've heard the first part a number of times, but that's the whole verse there. And the idea is that people thrive where there is order, where there is structure. Look at Zimbabwe. It's chaos, anarchy. People are doing whatever they want, and people are suffering and dying as a result. The infrastructure is all but gone. People need structure. People need direction. People need to follow a plan, a purpose, a vision. Without that, we perish. If you take the authorities which give us direction and structure, sorry, Totsiens, Umyan's on call at the hospital. If you take away our authority structures in South Africa tomorrow morning, you're going to be bolted up in your house. Probably you run down to Builder's Warehouse and buy a few more locks and latches. But it's not going to be a nice place to live, because if you take the judicial system away and the police force and everything, there's just going to be pandemonium. There'll be chaos. And we actually, the Lord is a God of order. He's not the author of confusion. Confusion is from the enemy. We don't need to be confused. There's a lot of confusion reigning in the world today. A lot of confusion in people's minds. There's a lot of confusion in this geographical area as well. A lot of weird and wonderful belief systems. But the Lord, He's a God of order. He's a God of rank. He's a God of authority. Okay, we are part of a kingdom here where there is a king. There's one who rules and reigns, one who makes decrees and gives instructions. Okay, it's not a free-for-all. And that is where people thrive. The Bible has an example of the time where there were no kings. And it said every man did that which was right in his own eyes, and it was chaos. And then God would have to raise up a king each time and an authority. So where there is no vision, the people perish. Thomas Carlyle said, the man without purpose is like a ship without a rudder, a waif, a nothing, a no man. Any no man's here? We don't want to be a no man, okay? A ship without a rudder. Now, we need purpose. We need direction in life. Often you hear that said a lot of young people. They just lack direction. They don't know where they're going and just making, got no basis on which they make their decisions. And normally people in that frame of mind, end up in a lot of trouble before they turn things around, which hopefully they will. But we need vision. We need vision. We need purpose. Okay, we need to find out what the Lord's plans are there. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You were made by God for God. He prepared your path before you, that you should walk in it. You're not necessarily, not automatically going to fulfill your God-given purpose in this life. The Afrikaans expression, what God's water or God's akker, of oop deere, toe deere, life just happens, and I just go with the flow. That's not the kind of the flow that I want to go with, okay? The only flow that we want to go with is the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit. So we should walk in God's purpose for our lives. We're not automatically going to fulfill that. God has given us dominion. He's given us authority. He's given us the ability to choose. And that's our big problem, because we miss the mark. We choose wrong. We sin. We fall short. But as believers, we know God's voice. We don't need to miss it. If we miss it, it's our own fault. We can only point the finger at ourselves. When things go wrong and pear-shaped in our life, there's no way you can point a finger at anyone. There's, what do they say? It's four fingers pointing back at you. Okay? It's our own fault. It's our own fault when things are not going right. We were created to live supernatural and significant lives. We were created by the God of the universe. Sometimes, because God is a spirit and we can't see Him in the natural, easy to forget about Him when we get busy. easy to forget that we were called to a supernatural existence. We were called for something more, something greater, something higher. Let that be encouraging to you. Life is not about surviving. Life is not about the paycheck. It's much more than that. We need to discover our calling. We need to follow a vision. We need to aim at something. If we're not aiming at anything, you're going to hit it every time. The result, nothing. Amounts to nothing. We don't live for the praises of man. That will soon be forgotten. We live to please God. You want to fulfill God's purpose for your life, not someone else that you think is a cool oak or whatever. You know, not necessarily that which your parents even want for you. Sometimes, and with all due respect, and they generally want the best for us, they want to see you successful and happy. That is not necessarily God's definition of success and happiness. We need to be open to what, firstly, what God asks of us, and actually only of what God wants for us. That doesn't mean we cannot take advice. That doesn't mean God doesn't use other people in our lives. That doesn't mean He doesn't use our parents to help steer and direct us. But we need to also get confirmation from God. We need to spend time with the Lord. We need a plan in our life. They say there's that saying, no one plans to fail. We fail to plan. Okay, so a lot of people going through life without a plan. A lot of people going through life without aiming in any specific direction, and then you're going nowhere. In your life, you're not going to be leaving a legacy behind which is of any worth or any good. We need to make sure that we find out what's on God's heart. I want to ask you a question. Pete, is your God big or small? Massive. Jolene, is your God big or small? Immeasurable, too big. Chan, is your God big or small? What's that mean? Okay. You can see he's a fisherman. Yeah. You can't measure. Yeah, he's too big. You heard the story of the one-armed fisherman. And they asked him now, how big was that fish you caught? And he's like, now that's about how big our God is. Infinity. Why do we make small plans? Why are plans sometimes so small? Our God is so huge. Why are our plans small? That Angus Buck, and he says, you better make big plans because your God is big. You serve a big God. Make your plans big. We better plan big. If your vision that you have from God, if it doesn't scare you, then it's not from God. Okay? That which God called us to in this life is far bigger than what we can imagine. The Bible says you cannot imagine the plans that God has for you, what He has in store for you. You cannot even imagine. No eye has seen. Okay. God's got huge plans for us. And why is it so far bigger than any of us? Because God is bigger. He's bigger, and we, each of our lives together, form God's perfect plan. He has chosen to work through us. He's got one plan. He doesn't have a different plan of action. He's got one plan for the salvation of the whole world, and He wants to present it through everyone on the planet, and we all form a part of that. So, we are all part of the biggest plan ever in history. But when we are following our own plan, we are outside of that greater scheme of things. And our little plan cannot compare to God's plan. and you're never going to experience that significance. And you're never going to feel, you know, you're never going to know what God has in store for you. If you don't just knuckle down, just sit by His feet and ask Him, what is His plan for you? God's got an awesome plan for all of us. And that's why I invited us to stop and listen as such. Jeremiah 29, you know the scripture. He says, God knows. Some of us need to be reminded of this very well-known scripture. We need to be reminded of this so often, that God knows the thoughts that He thinks towards us, the plans that He has for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a future and a hope. God has a good plan for your life. You can trust Him with your life. Okay, and we need to find out from Him. You want to know why you were created? You must go to your Creator. No one else can tell you. No one else can tell you. There's a lot of confusion. A lot of people still reading their horoscopes and whatever else. Okay, not in this church. Okay. But that's scary. We can only go to God. Proverbs 19, verse 20-21. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. You know, we've got to realize that it's in our nature to come up with ideas, you know, because we have something that God gave us, and it's, you know, in the realm of creativity, and we come up with ideas, and so often it's, you know, it's dead end roads that it would lead us on. We've got to realize that it's only God's plan that will stand the test of time. Only if we fulfill God's purpose in our life, that we'll leave that legacy that God has required of us. We will be rewarded as believers one day in heaven according to not what we did for God, but whether we did what God asked us to do. So we have to find out what is that plan that He has for us. You know, and it's, and again, like I said earlier, we might be running today on what we heard from the Lord 5 years ago, and we haven't bothered to inquire in the meantime. We're operating on old revelation, because God's word to us, if I can, you know, quote Psalm 119, is that His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So He will give us the direction, and then He'll give us step-by-step instruction. And if the last time we heard from Him was 5 years ago, what we meant to be doing with our life, then guaranteed we're missing some things along the way. Important things. And so we need to make sure that we do this continuous evaluation, like you do at many of your companies and so on, performance appraisals, whatever. Are you still on track? An annual review. And we need to, you know, even do it more regularly than that, obviously. But we need to do continuous evaluation when it comes to the Lord and whether we on the right track. You know, are we still doing exactly what He has asked of us? Are we in His perfect will for our life? You get a good and acceptable and a perfect will of God, and we all want to be there in that place of in His perfect will. And no one can tell you what that is. God wants to tell you Himself. People can help point you in a direction, but ultimately, my sheep, they know my voice, and He wants to talk to you personally. Jesus has already made the way that we can be with the Father, that we can hear from Him what His plan is. We don't need to go through mediators today. Jesus was our medium. He's done it already. He's paid the price. We can talk to the Father. So we can find out every day, my sheep know my voice. And, you know, so it's been really great for me to see that in the last 8 years of how the Lord is so faithful, that He's brought a lot of the things that He revealed to me when I initially got saved, that he asked of me, that He's brought a lot of that has come to pass already. A lot of that He has, by His grace, has happened in my life, and He's set me on a course and so on. And there's still a lot of things that need to happen, and I still trust the Lord, you know, and inquire of Him regularly, you know, what is it that He wants me to do and so on. And it's really, I can just testify that God's plans are awesome and far beyond anything we can think or imagine. You know, even though He revealed a lot of things to me initially there, there's a lot of things that have happened in the meantime, and you know, where he's got me now that I could never have imagined. And I can just say thank you to the Lord, and it's just by his grace. You know, I wasn't trained up in what I'm doing or anything like that. God has really set me on a course. I mean, I was in finance, doing a desk job, and so on, and I appreciate that for many people, that's exactly where God wants them. And it's not about their relationship with their laptop. It's about the people in the company, the people that they will influence and connect with. That is the mission field out there. Those are the people we need, believers in every company, in every hospital, in every school. We need believers. Okay, and so God will send you in places, and he will give you a skill that will open a door for you there. Your gift will bring you before kings, and you will do the Lord's work there, and you'll influence people's lives. But for me, that's not where God wanted me, but that's where I was, and that's why I experienced zero fulfillment, job satisfaction, anything like that. I was miserable. I was just living for my paycheck and the weekends and so on. And I was so grateful when the Lord revealed himself to me and when he showed me what he made me for, that wouldn't be the sum of my existence, me and my laptop, you know. So I praise God for that. And I challenge any of you, if you're in that space where you really feel, you know, you don't know what God's will is for you, and you realize that you're not experiencing the goodness or the pleasure of God, the blessing on what you're busy doing now, you don't experience that fulfillment, then you need to knuckle down, spend time with the Lord and inquire of him, and he will tell you. He will reveal to you. You know, and people can pray with you for that. But ultimately, the Lord will reveal to you, and you will know when it is what God has asked of you. You'll know. And that just brings such liberty to know that you are where God wants you to be. You're doing what you've been created for. It brings such freedom and liberty and satisfaction. There's nothing like that. You know, where you actually feel that your life is meaningful. You know, that, I mean, if you're gone, people are going to miss you because you're doing what God has asked you to do. And that is to influence the people's lives around you. But we mustn't assume where God wants us to be. So often we assume based on our natural giftings and abilities. Everyone has been born with natural gifts and so on. And now the world has designated careers and you know, fields of employment, and we kind of put ourselves in one of those categories, and there we go. And we need to be careful because we are more than just our natural giftings. There are spiritual gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit. Karina pointed out some of them earlier. And God, when he created you, he saw you as the full package with your natural gifts, gifts of the Father, the Holy Spirit gifts, the offices of Jesus Christ, the fivefold ministry, you know, your personality, everything, the full package. God planned you in that way, and he has apportioned those gifts for you if you would receive them to go and fulfill that specific part of his overall plan. And in fulfilling that, you'll experience the pleasure of God and significance and fulfillment in this life. And so often, you know, we've gone through school, and it's so difficult for standard 8 or 9, you know, what, standard 7, you already have to start choosing your subjects for standard 8 to matric, grade 10 to 12, and then you're enrolling for varsity or college. And it's difficult for a youngster at that age to really know, what am I meant to be doing for the rest of my life? You know, it's a tremendous burden. I was, you know, in our first week of varsity, we were still being initiated and so on. I still didn't know what I wanted to do. So I just settled for, you know, finance, BREC and whatever. And, yeah, later on, praise God, I switched to Bestuursrek. I hate that FinRec, for those that know what that is. But, yeah, it's many of us, we don't know. And guess what? I mean, these days, you know, life is short, but it's also quite long in terms of one career. And you have people switching careers halfway through their life. You know, don't tell me that that's not done. I, You know, we know of people that decide when they're 40 to study medicine and become a doctor, stuff like that. That happens. Okay, it is the exception. But I mean, one would think, when you think of stories like that, you think, wow, that person's bold. That person's brave. You know, and obviously, the Lord made a way, or that person had provision to be able to do that, to now go and study, you know, 5 or 7 or however many years. And but, you know, when we inquire of the Lord, don't think that now, man, but I studied, you know, engineering, and I really know that this is not what God wants me to do, but I, you know, spent 5 years studying, and my parents, you know, sponsored me and everything, and now I have to do that for the rest of my life. So, and I'm almost too scared to ask God if that's what I'm meant to be doing, or if it's something else, because how can I change now? You know, and we actually, we the security that we find in our jobs and so on prevents us from the higher calling that God has on our life, from discovering what that is and walking in that. There's a saying that I use sometimes: it's better to be at the bottom of a ladder you want to climb than halfway up one you don't want to climb. Do you agree with me? I mean, those ladders are ending 2 different places. At the end of the day, you want to be where you're meant to be. We're brave enough to start all over again. I mean, that's part of the principles in the Bible. You know, when you give your life to the Lord, you become a new creation. Yeah, you start all over again. And I started all over again on more than one level, career-wise, everything. And I started at the bottom. There I was. I was preparing to qualify as a chartered management accountant in the UK, and I was living there permanently. I had my own place, and I was gearing up for the Beamer and all of that. You guys know the story. And you know, and then the Lord revealed Himself to me. My life turned around. I realized that's not what I'm called to. And you know, I could throw that out the window, come back to South Africa and start doing volunteer work in Kayamandi and pack chairs in the church. Start at the bottom of the new ladder, but it was a ladder that I want to climb. And you can do that, you know. And yeah, I was 26 years old then. And maybe you're 36, maybe you're 46. Doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter. You know, God will make a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. You need to be in agreement. You need to be willing. And God can show you amazing things. So I really want to encourage you with that. Better to start at the bottom of a ladder that you want to climb. Right. Now, when God reveals to you what He wants you to do, write and run. First it was stop and listen. Remember? That's what all of us need to go and do. Even if you think you know 100% what God wants for you for the rest of your life, let's do that one more time. Stop and listen. And then when He reveals to you, then you write and you run. Okay, Habakkuk 2, you know the scripture, verse 2 and 3, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. At the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. Why do we write down what the Lord shows us? Well, it's that principle of deeming as precious the things that God gives us. Now, I've used the analogy, the parable rather, that Jesus shared in terms of the kingdom of God's like a man who finds a buried treasure in a field, and he goes and sells all that he has to buy the field. So that the treasure is secure. He gave up everything to make sure that he has that treasure. You know, and we need to treasure when it comes to God's calling on your life and your God-given purpose in this life. The number one reason that God has called you, we need to deem that as so precious. We better write that down. I wrote down those things the Lord showed me after I got saved. I wrote it down in red ink on a paper. I still got that page. And it's so encouraging when I look at that. Because you know what? As a believer, the enemy, Satan, cannot steal you out of God's hand. You can choose to turn your back on God and get angry at Him and walk away. And hopefully, like the prodigal son, you'll come to your senses and come back. And God won't be angry at you. He will celebrate you because He loves each of us so much. But pretty much the love of God keeps us in His hand. I mean, it's that love is amazing. Now, the enemy cannot take you out of His hand. John chapter 10. Go and read it. But the enemy doesn't want believers to fulfill their calling. He'll do everything he can. Once you're saved, he cannot do anything about that. But what he'll try and he'll distract you from doing what God has asked you to do. He'll try and distract you. He'll try and hinder you. He'll try and get you to start fearing or doubting, whatever. But he's going to try and throw a spanner in the works around every corner in terms of what God has asked you to do. Because what God has asked you to do is going to influence other people and bring them closer to God. And at the end of the day, the enemy, he's all about numbers and he doesn't want people to come to know the Lord. So expect resistance. But when you write down that vision, it's much more difficult for the enemy to come and confuse you around about what God said to you because you wrote it down. We are forgetful beings, okay? Not like the elephant that remembers so well. We forget. And so when you write things down, it's so much more difficult for the enemy to come and say, no, God didn't say that. Maybe Adam and Eve should have written down, okay, do not eat from that tree because you will die. The enemy, did he really say you will die? I don't think you'll die, you know? And so we need to really watch out and we need to write it down and you need to stick it up somewhere. And you need to remind yourself because it's encouraging when you see that thing on the wall. You know, that's why you get some people and they go all out to this and they put scriptures. Their room and their house is full of scriptures everywhere and that's awesome. I love that. Okay. My wife likes to think of herself as an interior decorator and so I won't mess around with her. I won't cramp her style there. I don't think she'll appreciate it if I'd like line the wall with scriptures everywhere and whatever. But so you write it down and you read it. And sometimes we need to read that every day. Especially if you don't believe it. You need to read it a lot. And the Lord will just start imprinting that on your heart. Like engraved on a tablet. And you won't be able to ignore it. And you won't be able to deny it. And the enemy won't be able to confuse you around it. Okay, and then you can start running with it. And make it plain, make it simple. I mean, sometimes God speaks to us and it's like, and the pen just goes and can be pages and pages. Simplify it. Get to the crux of the matter. You know, it's mostly us that do the padding and fill in all the words and the blanks and the, you know, and we say, yes, Lord, and what if I do this as well? And, you know, and we get super excited. And the Lord actually, it's that still small voice. He's not the author of confusion. He will speak to you plain and clear. And he will give you a simple instruction. We need a vision. Anyone got an idea? What is Shofar's vision? We've got a vision. Any hands? Sorry? You got it in one. To reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. That's a big vision that's very much falls under the umbrella of the Great Commission. Okay? It's all biblical. And that's what we as Shofar Group are here for. That's what ultimately each of you are, you're signed up as members of the church. That is our heart, you know, to reach nations and generations, everyone out there, young and old, doesn't matter what creed or color, because why Jesus died for everyone, he loves everyone. God wants everyone to be saved. And Jesus said to us, go and make disciples, not converts, so it's about disciple making. In order to spread the gospel and take that message further and keep taking it further and keep multiplying, we realize that the best way and what we see happening through the book of Acts and so on is to plant churches. So we have to disciple people, get them strong in the Lord, equip them as leaders, and send them out to plant churches. So that is our vision statement. Then we've got, we roll out with a plan of action. How do we do that then? How do we disciple people? How do we raise up leaders? And so we've got different ways of doing that. For us here at Table View, we're in a season now where we are trusting the Lord for vision and strategy specific to our geographical area for the next season. We realize God is wanting to do a new thing here. not outside of Shofar's vision. We are a Shofar church and we bought into that vision and we're proud of that. But we need to know why has he brought us here specifically to Table View for this next season? What is he wanting us to do here? So that is what we trust in God for. That's what, as a church, what I'm saying tonight and what I said last week is applicable to us as individuals. But then also there's application for us corporately as a church. We also need to stop and listen and inquire of God to get, again, together, why are we here for this time? You know, because at the end of the day, we function together as well. We're part of a body, and for a body to operate, we need to function together. Each part has to know what its function is, and we operate together in order that the whole body might move forward. So that is what we're doing the last few weeks at our prayer meeting, and the Lord has really spoken to us. Got my book here as well. I've got this blue book, which Nico and Simone Hastel gave 2 years ago, that I write down what the Lord shows us in the prayer meetings. And so then one can go and look afterwards, and one notices, you know, because we at the moment, we kind of just waiting on the Lord, and he reveals to each one, he reveals something, and, you know, lo and behold, there's a thread that you can draw through everything that the Lord reveals to all the different people. There's a single idea and vision that is starting to shape and form. And I want to invite you again to be part of that, be part of that process. So again, this coming Thursday evening, we're going to wait on the Lord and spend some time just inquiring of him for the next season. What is this new thing that you're wanting to do with us here, wanting us to do in order to impact this town? So it's very exciting stuff, and the Lord is still busy revealing what it is. And I hope to give us a bit of a feedback next Sunday in terms of, well, what it is that the Lord has revealed to us ultimately. So if you want to be part of that process, come on Thursday. It's going to be lekker. But also for yourself, you know, you need to also find out for your own life going forward, because no doubt, you know, you might not be in Table View forever and a day, and you might not be here with us in Shofar forever, but the Lord knows what he wants you ultimately to do in your life as well. So for you, it's also important to find out for your own overall purpose what that is, but then also as part of the church. Because whatever God has asked you personally, that's always going to find expression, I believe, through the local church. Whether it's this church or later on if you move to another church, you know, it's your own purpose will find expression through the local church. The vision that the Lord gives us always involves other people. Obviously, other people are the ultimate beneficiaries of that vision. But also, we're part of a body. The Lord ordained it that way. So other people are always going to be called on to help in the vision, or our vision is helping some other vision, but it's joined. We, you know, inextricably entwined and joined to each other. We see that verse 3 there. Also, the vision tarries. It takes some time. It's not going to necessarily happen instantly. Again, this patience. Okay? Patience is a virtue, right? Patience is a gift of the Holy Spirit as well. So it's something that's truly important. We need to be prepared to wait. None of this McDonald's Christianity that's going around. Okay, we need to prepare to wait on what God has for us. And in the time of waiting, it's a time of preparation as well. Remember, the vision that God lays on your heart is going to scare you. You're not going to be able to do it tomorrow. It's going to take time of preparation. You're going to need God every step of the way. And so you're going to get prepared in the meantime. And we don't want to run ahead of God. You know, God is patient. And it's because, as I said, your vision impacts other people, and God doesn't force himself on people. He's working with people, and he will wait till they're ready. So often we go out there like a bull in a china shop, and we Bible bash people, and we do more harm than good. You know? And so often we do that, especially when we're zealous and we're like young in the Lord, and praise God, he's got grace for that. He'll cover that, and people will forgive us. But, you know, I made that mistake. I made that mistake with my sisters, and I'm still trusting God that their lives will turn around. You know, and I do feel that I definitely put a spanner in the works there of what God wanted to do in their life, because I ran ahead in assumption, and I Bible bashed, and that wasn't very nice of me. And but yeah, they know I love them, and they will come to know the Lord. So another principle that I want to share with you quickly: when you get a vision from the Lord, when the Lord shares something with you, I also want to encourage you. You're writing it down, and you're patiently waiting on the Lord to see what is, you know, step by step. He's not going to show you all the steps straight away. He's going to take you step by step. Word is a lamp to my feet. But also, don't go and share that vision with everyone around you. Ooh, God told me I'm going to do, you know, these big tent crusades and whatever, and I'm just waiting for the tent to come. I've ordered it and whatever. You know, we don't go and share these things with people. First, marinate on it for a little while. Spend some more time praying about it. Then share it maybe with one or two trusted believers. First, you don't want to share what God has told you with unbelievers, because they're not exactly going to encourage you in that, or, you know, they're not exactly going to build your faith. You're going to need a lot of faith to do what God has asked you to do. So you it's like Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. Okay, not to be ugly or call anyone a pig or anything, but it's because there's that principle. You don't want, they say the swine, lest they trample it underfoot and start to attack you. Okay? That's what Jesus goes on to say. And you find it so often. How many times have you shared something that's deep and meaningful to you, and the person's kind of spat it back in your face or whatever, and it leaves you kind of really wounded and hurt and whatever? You know, we need to realize that which God gives us is so precious, and we must really deem it as precious. And you share it with one or two trusted believers, or, you know, believers in leadership or something like that, people that can partner with you, that can pool their faith with yours, people that can encourage you and help you in that. You're going to need help, but now don't go sharing it with everyone. Okay, you guys get the message there. Then finally, Philippians 3 verse 14. In terms of running with it, you've written it down, you know, and we've got to run with it. There's going to be, remember, the world out there doesn't like to hear that there is a day coming where all men will be judged, and etc., etc. There's an enemy out there that doesn't want you to fulfill your destiny that God has for you. There is resistance. You're going to have to press on. You're going to have to push in. And that's where the running part comes. There's an effort required. It's not just going to be effortless, okay? It's going to cost you your life, basically. Because none of us are born knowing exactly what is God's will for our life. So we're out there, and we're busy doing something. And then when we inquire of the Lord and He reveals to us, it is going to be different from what you're busy with now. So it's going to cost you to lay down whatever you're busy doing. You're going to have to make some changes. People don't like making changes. But guess what? You will never regret jumping across to the other ladder and doing what God has asked you to do. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret fulfilling your God-given purpose in this life, even if it was at the expense of millions of dollars that you would have made in some other career or whatever else. You'll never regret it. You cannot take your money to heaven. All the pharaohs, the grave robbers have found that out. Okay. So only thing we can take to heaven, in a sense, is the people whose lives we've influenced. Okay, so we've got to press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus' life. In Jesus Christ, sorry. We've got to press on. And I want to encourage you in that. Okay, it's not always going to be easy. But Paul said he considers that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's no comparison. There will never be any, you'll never regret following Jesus. No matter how tough it is, you'll never regret it. No matter how tough it is, all the disciples, all the apostles of Jesus Christ, they all died as martyrs. They were given the opportunity to recant and still and go on with their lives, and they chose not to. They couldn't deny the call of God on their lives. They couldn't deny Jesus Christ, and they never regretted it. Amazing stories of how they offered up their lives for the greater cause. And we've got it comfy and we've got it easier in SA still. You know, we still got freedom to minister for the most part, and we must use that freedom. Ultimately, John 17, verse 4, we want to be able to say, as Jesus said, I have glorified you on the earth. I've finished the work which you have given me to do. That's what we want to be able to say at the end of our life. So that God can reply, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what it's all about. That's what as a believer, that's what you want to hear. That's the prize, that's the reward. That you have pleased God with your life. There's that other saying, you have one life and will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. But I just want to add to that, or in brackets, you know, only what Christ has asked you to do and you faithfully completed. Okay. We all want God to say that to us one day. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now guess what? That means that there is something that he wants you to do. We must find out what that is. And if we think we know, we must just make sure we re-evaluate on a regular basis. Because we can't operate on yesterday's revelation. Because we have a living relationship with God every day, and he wants to talk to us every day. He's not going to reveal to us what he wants us to do every day for the next year. He's not. Every day he wants us to come and get that bread of heaven from him every day. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every day we need to go to him for food. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of God. We need to go to him asking, Lord, what do you have for me today? And then we'll know. I mean, on Saturday, yeah, we were yesterday, encouraged by testimonies of how God moves miraculously in people's lives. And we went out there, and God had divine appointments. God had planned long ago that he wants us to go and speak to certain people that are going to be in certain places at certain times yesterday. And we prayed for people, and people gave their lives to the Lord, changed for eternity. People got healed who were in pain. God had planned those things. But we go, how many days do we go without inquiring of God? And how many divine appointments are we missing out there? How many people are continuing in pain or in their lostness and so on because we're not inquiring of God? Okay, we must come. Let's come to his feet like Mary. Choose the good portion. Okay, God has got a daily target for us, and then he's got an overall plan for us, and we need to aim at that. If you aim at nothing, you're going to hit nothing. Okay? We need to aim bullseye. You need to know what is God's got a perfect will for you. That's what the definition of sin is. It means to miss the mark. Okay? And there's sins of commission where we go out and we deliberately do wrong. And then there's sins of omission where God asks us to do something good and we don't do it. Okay? Or we don't even bother inquiring of him. But let's know that, as we read in Ephesians 2, God has good works prepared for us, that we should walk in them. But a lot of these good works that he's prepared, we're missing because we're not even asking him what they are. So we must go and inquire of him. And you know, those good works that he has for us, it's not, boring, I must go and find out what God has for me today. You know, what does he want me to do? How many people does he want me to help across the street? No, it's exciting stuff. Yeah, there might be some people across the street. And maybe you pray for them while you're walking, and maybe they'll just get healed. Or maybe you're pushing the wheelchair, and by the other end of the road, they'll be getting up out of the wheelchair. You know, like one of the movie clips we saw, this guy said, they were praying for people in wheelchairs. I think it went something like that. And, you know, so many people say Christianity is boring, but, you know, we don't pray for people in wheelchairs, then they get up or out of the wheelchair and we say, oh, this is so boring. You know, there's nothing boring about miracles happening. And that's, God has called us to a supernatural existence. We were created for, you know, that's why these movies and Spider-Man and Superman and I mean, you can literally see how they steal stories out of the Bible, but it's out there. Everyone has this need for something supernatural and bigger than them. And so they're filling it with Herman Potgieter, Volume 7, and whatever else. But God created us. God created us for supernatural life. Harry Potter. Okay. So, yes. Okay, we're going to worship the Lord now. That's enough from me. And again, the invitations are the worship team. You guys are welcome to join me. I'm not going to sing. Don't worry. And then I want to invite you guys. Join us Thursday night, man, if you can. If you're in the area. Okay, most of you live in the area. Okay. So join us if you can. 7 bells. And we're going to wait on the Lord. And I'm really excited because I believe that the Lord is going to just kind of close the deal in a sense. What He wants us ultimately to do for the next season. And so we can start planning around that because we don't want to miss God in this, you know. I know God's going to do amazing things. So it's very exciting. So join us. The Lord is faithful. He speaks to us every time. I mean, you must see. I write in that book. Lots of cool stuff the Lord is showing us. And it's exciting. And it's not condemning. It's not, oh, Lord, sorry, you're missing it and everything. It's exciting because the Lord, you know, He encourages us. And He wants what's best for us. And He wants us to experience His goodness. And He wants us to, you know, see His greatness and reveal His glory. And it's just all good stuff. You will never regret it. You know, the one guy that Robert and I went to speak to, he was like, you guys are freaking me out. You know, is this what you guys do for fun on a Saturday or whatever? And we're like, yeah, unfortunately, we're not doing it every Saturday, but yeah, we should. So, yeah, it's great. You know, let's go and be a blessing out there. Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord God, that you have called us, Lord, to a supernatural existence. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord God, that we're part of something so much bigger than ourselves, Lord, that we can know we were created, Lord, for a reason, Lord God. There's no accidents, Lord God. There's no losers here, Lord God, but we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, we can do all things, Lord. And we want to thank you, Lord God, that you've got a plan for us, Lord, and that you will give us the strength to accomplish that. That which is so far bigger than ourselves, Lord. And Father, thank you, Lord God, that we can work together, Father. You've got a corporate plan for us as well for this time in this town. And we pray, Lord, that you'll just continue to reveal it to us, Lord, and that you'll give us a strategy and the direction, Lord, Father. And we thank you, Lord God, that you also just enable us all to get excited about it and to buy in that we may run with it, Lord. We want to run with the vision that you give us, Lord, because we know it's going to change people's lives for an eternity, Lord. And we, Lord, we pray that you'll just draw our attention off that which is temporal and focus us on that which is of eternal value, that which is of kingdom importance, Lord. Well, Lord, we don't just want to live for ourselves, Lord. Lord, we're tired of just living for the paycheck and month to month, Lord, and just scraping through. That's not why you created us, Lord. You created us for something so much more, Lord. You create us for supernatural existence, Lord. You want heaven to invade earth, Lord. And we invite you, Lord, invade our lives, invade our hearts, change our mindsets and our paradigms, Lord God. Fill our hearts with dreams and visions, Lord, and words that you, Lord, aim us, Lord. Use us as arrows in your hand and direct us at the bull's eye, Lord. Show us, Lord. Show us which way to go, Lord. Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that we can just experience your pleasure, Lord God, and just living for you, Father. Lord, and I just pray, Lord God, that you'll just also that the, Lord, the mundane things of this world, Lord God, that it will just like lose its flavor, Lord. And that you'll just salt us, Lord, and make us thirsty for what you have for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. We just give you praise and we thank you that we can now praise you. We can praise you as our creator, God, as the King of the universe, Lord. As the one, Lord, that is Lord, given us a reason to live as the one that has given us life. And Lord, we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.